Welcome to the Mac Observer's Daily Observations Podcast. I'm Jeff Gamet. Today is Monday, November 30th, 2015, and this is our first day back after taking a little breather over the Thanksgiving holiday. So, John Bartolaro, it's great to have you here.
Good morning. I blinked and it was Halloween. I blinked again and it was Thanksgiving.
Yep, and blink again and it's going to be St. Patrick's Day.
Right? Oh, right, exactly.
Yeah. And Brian Chaffin, how are you?
Thanksgiving.
The most awesome thing is, as soon as you did your ho, 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 all I could think was, please, oh, please, let this be a Jabba the Hutt thing.
Yeah, my job is not very good, but the point is stuffed.
Yeah, let me hear you say Bantha Poodoo.
Bantha Poodoo.
That's awesome.
Excellent.
Right? Doesn't he do that third syllable uplilt?
Yes, he does that a lot. Yeah. So now we have you saying Bantha Poodoo in your Jabba voice, and I'm expecting before too long, someone is going to be using that as an alert tone when they get text messages. Listeners, let me know who the first person is that makes that happen.
Yeah.
Anyhow, hey, I thought that we could start off today by talking about government stuff. Specifically, the NSA, they've had to change their procedures for bulk collection of our phone activity metadata. And now they have to, instead of just gathering everything they want, they have to go through a court and get a warrant to target specific people or groups. And the slightly more in-depth description is, because of the changes that came through the USA Freedom Act, the NSA, starting on Sunday, was no longer able to do this bulk phone record collection. Now they have to apply for warrants through the Foreign Intelligence Surveillance Court, which is a secretive court. So we don't know when they are requesting warrants, and there's really no oversight as to the warrant search.
No, and there's it's a rubber stamp court, too. I mean, like almost every single FISC request that's been made.
All of them?
I thought there was like one or two that had been denied.
I saw something that suggested that the number of denials was zero from somebody I think knows.
It's hard to know whether or not that should be appalling, because we don't have enough information. It could be that the government is actually, that the NSA in particular, is doing a fantastic job of always asking for things that they should be asking for. That's possible. Doesn't really seem likely, but it's possible. But at the same time, having to go through that process is still infinitely better than this bulk collection of all of us treating us all like criminals.
Right. I agree. Even if this is more of a theatrical presentation for us, it's better than just simply having outright and open full-scale data collection of all of our phone records.
Yes.
Yeah. And I wish, though, that this was set up in such a way that there was more transparent accountability. Because right now, regardless of what the NSA's intentions might be with any sort of data collection, there's a trust issue here.
And the NSA has not only not earned that trust, they've lost that trust with us, because the NSA has shown that it will always do everything that it can, whether or not it needs to.
Right. Yeah, and that's not a way to instill confidence or trust in the people you are supposed to be protecting.
Well, especially if certain mechanisms have proven to be useful. And Congress, for political reasons, says, well, you're not allowed to do that anymore. And that creates angst within the NSA and say, well, this worked before in a couple cases where we were successful and we're loath to give that up. That's consideration, too.
Well, sure. I mean, if you have a system in place that makes it easier to do your job, how likely are you going to be to just gladly and willingly give that up?
Well, and the thing here is there should always be tension. There should absolutely always be tension between the various forces involved in this. And it is one of those tensions is that the NSA or any kind of intelligence signal intelligence gathering service, they want to get all of the information that they can. And mm-hmm. and it's a very natural thing because the more information they have, the more options they have. Although, of course, it's quite clear that you can carry that to an extreme to where you have so much information that you can't actually find anything. But that's another issue. And at the same time, from the side of privacy, be it the courts, be it the Congress, be it we the people, we should always be pushing back and saying, no, you don't need this information. If you do need this information, go and get a warrant. That's the way our justice system was set up. And I don't know. Bypassing the warrant status, bypassing the warrant process has always been incredibly, incredibly dangerous, in my opinion, and ethically repugnant.
Absolutely. I agree mm-hmm. with you, Brian. But to get a little bit more definitive and technical, there are specific collection techniques where you have tools to operate on them. And then there's collection techniques where you don't have tools to operate on them in real time, but you can go back and data mine. And then there's collection techniques where you just collect everything and you hope that maybe someday you'll be able to go back and make some use of it. And that's sort of a spectrum there. And so there's that tension between things that work and there's that and just mass collection where you think that maybe it's useful, but you don't know how to deal with it yet and you don't have a computer capacity to do everything. You just want to archive it just in case. And that's where I think we're sitting with this Freedom Act is, hey, you know, do you know how to do anything useful with the data you're collecting immediately? Well, no, but we'd like to have it. Well, you don't get it. So I think that's about where it is.
And there's another aspect of that too. This is one of the things that's always on my mind when we talk about privacy, when we talk about encryption, when we talk about surveillance in the first place. It's that if data is collected, especially bulk data collected without a warrant, when that stuff is collected today for, say, the express purpose of stopping terrorism, which is obviously a goal that most of us can get behind, right?
I know where
the
you're going.
The problem is what is that information going to be used for in the future?
Right.
I mean, let's look back to the J. Edgar Hoover's abuses and Nixon in particular, his abuses of of the FBI and who was being watched and why they were being watched. And I mean, this sort of thing, what am I trying to say? This can go too far.
It's a very slippery slope. And once you start collecting data that you can then sift through at your leisure, it becomes much easier to start piecing together things that probably shouldn't have been put together, building patterns that may not have actually been there.
Or habits of senators you disfavor.
Sure, yeah. This could become a blackmail tool. I'm not saying that's what's going to happen, but when you give people enough information and enough power –
And enough time,
it's a very seductive path you're going down, and not seductive in the way that I like.
President Trump could probably come up with a very classy way of using that data to because he'd know just who the bad guys were.
Yeah.
Don't get me started. Brian, you're tempting me. Don't get me started.
I went there.
You totally went there. Oh, man.
Oh, boy.
Well, but there actually, though, let's say we could go on both political spectrums there. So, for instance, I would imagine with the three of us, the idea of President Trump having access to mass warrantless surveillance is probably worrisome. On the right, the same thing would be the case for, well, for everybody who's on the left. But that's the thing, is someone at some point will be in power who will want to misuse that power. And that's what we, the people, must be on guard against.
Yes. Yes.
Exactly.
So I've started watching a show on Amazon Prime, and it's based on a Philip K. Dick book, and the series is called The Man in the High Castle. And it's an alternative timeline where Germany and Japan during World War II won, and they're occupying the United States. And just watching what the occupying countries are doing to the people that were living in the United States before the occupation. I mean, it is just bone chilling, the terror that these people are living under, the state police just rounding people up and torturing them. And where am I going with this? Where I'm going is, first, it's a really great series. And so if you have Amazon Prime, go watch it. But the other point is that it's easy to see how this could be a parallel on some levels for what our country could be in the future if people are allowed to operate unchecked with all of our personal information.
Interesting. I've seen the trailers for that, by the way. It looks good.
It's really good. Like you start watching and you need to plan extra time so that you finish the first episode and you can go ahead and jump right into the second into the third.
I can't. I'm overloaded. It's too much.
Well, I just totally messed up your schedule, John, because
you need
to start watching.
I got to get through Jessica Jones first.
That very same concept could have maybe had been uttered by people within the NSA. Overloaded.
Very possible.
It's too much.
Oh yeah. Maybe. I was thinking about that before the show. Is maybe NSA is okay with this because they figured out that the number of petabytes or exabytes of storage required is out of control.
I doubt they're okay with this. I want to stress this point. This is something that sort of resonates in my head a lot. It is natural and understandable for the people whose job it is to keep us safe to want to get all of the information, because doing their job is important to them. And the reality is that having more information is probably going to make their job easier than having not enough information.
Well,
and I get that, but we cannot allow our country to turn into a place where we can be surveilled without a warrant. It's not a good thing.
I agree.
I agree completely.
But your comment made me recall, however, Brian, that the NSA is very analytical, and they develop tools to help them assess the usability of the data. And if it were something that was completely unusable and wasn't helping, they wouldn't be so interested in it. So we got to remember that.
Yes. Yeah, we do. All right. So there's another topic that I wanted to take a look at real quick before we wrap up today. And this one's a little bit more lighthearted. And actually, it ties into me mentioning The Man in the High Castle. Just so you know, it's totally coincidental. I didn't realize I was setting myself up like that. But hey, Amazon Prime Instant Video may be coming to Apple TV soon. And I say may, and I want to emphasize may. I've been seeing reports online that go along the lines of Amazon has confirmed that they are developing and about to release Instant Video for Apple TV. They have not. What happened was a developer sent feedback to Amazon through the Instant Video iOS app asking about Apple TV support. And the response they got was that whoever was responding had gone and spoken with Amazon engineers who said that they're developing the app and it'll be out in a few weeks. So that's promising, but it's not an official confirmation from Amazon, which I'm still waiting to get. I've asked them to give me a confirmation.
It's a leak. It's not a confirmation.
There you go. It's a leak, and it's a very enticing leak because I would love to have the Instant Video app on my Apple TV, because right now I watch all of my content through Apple TV except for my Prime Instant Video content. And then I have to pick up another remote, switch inputs on my television.
Like an animal.
Like an animal.
Like, oh my God. How do you
switching
even,
inputs?
Oh, oh my. Good gracious.
And then I have to pick up another remote so I can control the Amazon
Fire Stick. Oh my God, horror upon horror heaped upon you as if you're some kind of filthy animal.
I know. I might as well be living in a gutter wearing boxes for shoes and straw for underpants.
Hashtag first world problems.
Yes.
Jeff, I'm troubled by this leak, though, however, because if I were Amazon, I would be strongly tempted to withhold this app until after I had sold a whole lot of Fire TVs at Christmas and Fire Sticks.
You know,
why? They don't make any money on them. Yeah,
the Fire Stick is not a product they sell to make money in and of
itself. No.
They don't sell anything to make money.
They want to get the product out in the field so that people are using it. So
Amazon wants is Prime subscriptions.
Success and people will buy things on it.
No. What they want is Prime subscriptions.
Yes.
That's so facilitating more Prime subscriptions by being on the Apple TV, that actually makes the most sense. It's actually shocking to me that this hasn't been available for Apple TV for a long time.
It surprises me that it wasn't available the day Apple TV launched.
Yeah, me too. I can't wait for it personally.
Yeah, and while I waxed on lamenting my first world problems, and you guys totally ribbed me, and rightly so, there's another part of that, and it's that people go for the path of least resistance. So if Amazon wants people to be using their service, they need to make sure that it's as easy as possible, which means putting an app on Apple TV, putting an app on Xbox and
TiVo, and PS4.
Put it on everything. And once you've done that, it's now a path of least resistance. People are more likely to use the service. And I have noticed there are times where I have thought, hey, you know, I'd like to watch an episode of Orphan Black. Oh, no, I have to get up and go over and get the other remotes. I'll just watch another thing on Netflix or another show on Apple TV or iTunes Store, whatever. And it's a little thing, but it happens. If I could do everything through a single box, I will watch more Amazon Prime content. And I will be more likely to renew my subscription when it's up in, 8 months or whatever. So it makes sense for Amazon to do this.
It's not only for when this new Apple TV shipped. It's actually shocking that Amazon wasn't one of the first app channel / things in the old Apple TV too.
I agree. That always struck me as odd. That Amazon didn't put anything there.
Yeah, and it's always made me ask, who is it? Is it Amazon not doing it, or Apple for some reason saying no, which I can't imagine.
No, I don't think so.
If Apple was saying no, why would we have an instant video app on the iPhone and iPad?
Exactly. Right. And there are lots of other content delivery networks that are on Apple TV too. So
yes.
It is a weird choice that Amazon has made.
It is a weird choice, and one that hopefully will be rectified soon. I mean, honestly, I would love to have Amazon Prime on my Apple TV.
Well, Christmas is a few weeks away. I think I still like the idea of Amazon releasing it right after Christmas. You know, it just seems to be a smarter thing to do.
Actually, seems to be smarter.
I think earlier would be better.
Yeah, I'm not with you, John. Because I don't really think Amazon really cares all that much about.
Well, you know, they advertise. I see a lot of the Jeremy Clarkson commercial that we all know about for the Amazon Fire TV, It's prominent on the website. There's been a lot of reviews of it. It features a 4K capability that the Apple TV doesn't have. Amazon's put some time and effort into building a box. They don't want to have another Fire Phone failure. You know, I just kind of get the feeling that they'd like to sell a lot of these, even though, as you say, they don't make a lot of money on the hardware.
I don't think they care about the hardware sales at all. I think they sell these to
create
a sense of value. Because if they just gave them away, no one would... There would be no perceived value to the product, so they need to sell them. And if they can sell them and recoup at least some of their production costs, okay, great. But
so what you're saying is that Amazon, a large successful technical company, has built a very sophisticated set-top box with 4K, and they really don't give a shit about it.
That's exactly what I'm saying. What they care about. Oh, and by the way, thank you for making me have to edit the show.
Yeah. What's up with that?
Yeah. Anyhow, they don't care about the box per se. What they care about are Prime subscribers, because Prime subscribers are big money for the company. And these are all different tools to entice us in to become Prime subscribers and then keep us once we're there. So giving us an app on Apple TV, that will be just another tool that they have to keep us as subscribers. So,
all right.
So there you go. Right. So, John, I'm disagreeing with you.
Okay.
All right. And we're actually out of time, so we're going to have to wrap up. John, thank you for being here, even though you're making me do some edits on the show today.
Well, I'd like to keep you busy. Other than that, thanks for getting me on the show.
It's always great to have you here. And, Brian, it's awesome to have you here as well.
Yeah, it was really pretty cool until John kind of ruined everything.
I know. And Brian, thank you. Thank you for not cussing on my show.
Yeah. I know, which is funny. You're the gentleman. You're the gentleman. I'm the guy with the terrible potty mouth. You are the most stand-up guy I know. And it's been you that has done this.
Twice? No, this is number three.
Oh, is it number three?
Number three.
Well, I'm going for the record.
You already have it, John. You already have it. All right. Listeners, thank you for joining us today. And wow. Okay. That was an adventure. We'll see everyone again tomorrow.